The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Thank you all for coming. I just want to make a few announcements before we start. First of all, I'm really thrilled to see all of you here. This is fantastic. We're very turnout for Women's Law Association Presidents here, and that makes me really happy. I'm Bernard Tell, President of the Women's Law Association. And I wanted to make a couple of announcements before we start. Tomorrow is the last day to register for the Connecting Women Affecting Change, the second annual VC networking event. So this workshop is the lead up to that event. And this is the second time it's happened. Last year it's at Catholic University, and it's a collaboration of all of the DC area law schools, the DC Women's Bar Association, the National Association of Women Judges, the National Association of Women Lawyers. It's being co-sponsored by a couple of firms. Right now we have about 250 people signed up, and sort of momentum around it, especially in the legal community, is really strong. The Women's Bar Association put out last year, or maybe 2005, a report saying that there still are critical problems that women face in the legal profession, especially with recruitment, retention, and investment. And part of their roadmap for success was to build mentor relationships, especially starting with law school students, us. And you know, in recognizing that at WCL, more than half the class is, well, half our student body is women. And, you know, if you look into the future, right now we've got 70% of partners in law firms are women. So somewhere, all of, you know, women are being discouraged or not taking the same paths to get to these traditional positions of success. So we will, through these events, we will redefine what success is. We will redefine our terms for staying in the legal profession and getting what we want out of it. So please sign up. Take the time to memorize this URL, so put it in. And it's going to be fantastic. Lots of energy. It's really powerful. Friday, 4:30 to 6:30, great speaker, Marsha Cooper, the co-founder of the National Women's Law Center, has done amazing work for women's rights, especially in women's equality. And any questions about that? I will also pass around, as I always try to, sign up for the WLAM listserv. If you're not on it, please sign up. And if you've gotten an invitation, please accept it. And yes, good morning. And now I'm very honored and thrilled to present to you Tracy Jenkins, the director of WCL's Office of Career Professional Development. Thanks. Tomorrow,
when you go to networking events, but I don't have any. At the 1L, I don't have any, and I know the school offers to make them, but if you get them made, obviously it won't be here by Friday. So what do you suggest to do instead of that?
And I'll repeat the question because we're a podcast, but the question is whether or not you make business cards for 1L, business cards are not necessary. They are available in the Office of Student Services on the third floor of the office. You can give them for the person. The only thing about business cards, and we'll get into this, is, you know, it's great to hand out a business card, but the expectation that someone will call you for that is pretty slim. So I definitely reverse that. You get a business card or someone else, and you follow them. And some individuals, even though you'll see on Friday, you say, oh, you have a business card, and they will come prepared for the business card. If you can get their name and their, at least where they work with the technology these days, you can really also, or you have a list of people to personally or actually figure that out as well. So don't worry if you don't have these parts that you want to do that you can still get these things. Any other questions? This is going to be interactive. I'm usually making programs that don't call on people because I think we'll get enough of that in class. But today I will call people who don't have volunteers and stuff to share this program. So when I say the term networking, what do you want? What's the first word that comes to you all when I say network? So, meeting people, great. Jobs, good. Anything else? What about fear or not knowing exactly what that all means? And one of the biggest things about networking is people view it as such a big issue. They're not really sure how they can approach. My approach to networking is pretty basic. I feel that networking is just building relationships. You all have relationships with your parents, with significant others, your friends. It took a lot of time to build those relationships and to nurture those relationships. You get new relationships, for example, when you come to law school as a white belt, by meeting people in your section, by meeting professors, by meeting people in postgraduate offices. So you just keep coming in contact with someone. You have the opportunity to build. And really, what it all comes down to, and that's what I think networking is. I think the process can be a little daunting. If you have to walk into a room of 200 people, that can be a daunting process. But in terms of actually building relationships with people, that's really not a terribly difficult thing to do. Just to give you a little bit of a sense of my background, I've been working for 4.5 years. I was practicing law for 7 years at a large firm. And then in between practicing law and coming here, I was involved in legal recruiting. So I helped contractors to make the position, and then I had the opportunity to start my own company. I started my own company, and it was about 4 or 5 years of company. And really, what I had to do to keep the company going was to constantly go out. That was the only way that I could get my candidates in terms of the lawyers that I was presenting to my clients. And my clients are typically large law firms and corporations. So my whole point of existence for 4 years was to go out and meet people and develop relationships so they felt comfortable doing business with me. Now fast forward to now, 4.5 years later, a lot of my clients are actually people that recruiters that I work with to try to get them to recruit our students. So it's great because the relationships turned around. It's simply not saying, here's a great thing, I'd like to pay for my services. I'm not saying, our law school is great, our students are great, I think that you will come and recruit for our students. I'm not asking them to pay a fee, so it's a little bit easier. So that can point building relationships. I mean, they start at one point, but they should continue. We'll sort of talk about how to do that. You should definitely take advantage of opportunities like the one that you have at Friday. You want people that meet you, and when you start to develop your relationship, you want to be in their mental Rolodex. And what do I mean by that? A mental Rolodex is, for example, someone that's going to get a counseling session. An alum says to me, you know, he's a government affairs clerk. He goes to ask himself, like, oh, I have someone that I know who came off the bill, he's a counselor for a law firm, I'm happy to connect you with that person. So when you meet people, they have to know what you want to do. You keep it a secret in terms of what you think you like to do, and obviously your interests may change over the course of being law school or even over the course of being an attorney. You still need to make sure that people know what you're interested in. That's the only way we can keep you on your mental role of that, and the only way to keep you on your mental role of that. Another thing that you can take advantage of opportunities. The networking of Friday is one example, but there are tons of opportunities at this law school. And for the White House, next semester there will be even more opportunities. We have this whole calendar for just about every day of the program. There are practitioners here, there are panelists. It's always a good for your law students to what's going on here, as well as what's going on at the White House. So just keep that in mind. Again, people can't help you unless they know your goals and your aspirations. So, in particular, women, I don't want to generalize because I know women and men are all, all points of the spectrum here. But women what it is you're interested in, and make sure that people know that that's the only way that people can help. So, in terms of just making sure, I know from you, you've heard of the old voice. Have you heard of that, Harriet? What does that mean to you? You hear that? Do you understand? What is when I think that, I think of people who know each other and they use their relationships to further careers, personal objectives, whatever it is. Women, I think, in terms of, we wouldn't have necessarily whole boys network, we might have a network of men and women and friends and family, a very broad network. And that's sort of your inner circle. Those are the people that you want to make sure know about you, know what you want to do, and you can call on them if you want to. And again, networking is definitely one of the ways that you can get jobs. And obviously, being in law school, I think you graduate and you can get jobs during active duty summer is very important. But you can't expect that if you go to a bank Friday, that on Monday you're going to have a job. All of this takes time. So you have to keep that in mind when you think about how does this fit into your broader career objectives and how does networking and meeting new people help you with those objectives. The other thing is I think we tend to know is different. I think generally, again, we tend to be a little more supportive. We tend to support each other and really try to nurture and build relationships. That's a great thing for networking because you want to build and nurture relationships. So use that to your advantage. If you're the type of person who have tons of friends and you're constantly calling them and getting together with them, or if you just have one really good friend and you keep in touch with them all the time, those are the types of skills that you want to bring to building your relationships. Any questions so far? Reception dynamics. First, as you know, over 250 people are registered for this event so far. And so the question would be, what do you do when you walk into a room and there might be 250 people? The one thing I can say with larger sections is don't feel intimidated, don't feel that you're sort of frozen and not sure what to do. When I approach a reception of that size, I don't think about, okay, can I get 100 people, 100 business cards, and the connections you make within a 2-hour time frame are going to be very surface connections if you're trying to get 100 people throughout that process. What you want to think about is, what is my approach in terms of, number one, a friend? Or they have a list of the people who will be attending the program?
It won't be a list in advance, but what we have is kind of a scheme where for attorneys, we're going to kind of color code their name tags for practice areas. So we'll have to do a little bit more footwork in introducing yourself and getting to know people, but we'll give you some visual cues that someone works in a particular field of law.
That's great, and I think that that's really helpful because it can help if you're in a similar area, but even if you're not, because when you talk to people, just because they're not doing what you want to do doesn't that you should be talking to them. A very powerful thing I heard about networking is when you meet someone, and it could be a classmate or anyone else, you're not just meeting that person, but you're meeting their entire family. So just keep that in mind. You might meet someone who you think on the surface can help you, so if you don't know who that person is, you definitely have to keep in mind if you're meeting someone, you're meeting their entire network. So in terms of this reception, remember, it's not a job fair. You don't want to bring your resume to this. This is not the point of this particular reception. The point of this is to make contact, to meet new people, and to follow up with them and try to build relationships. I gave you the handout. We have a larger networking handout, but we don't have access to that in a couple of weeks. But we do have scenarios about career fairs, which talks about how to approach those. Today we'll be talking about receptions, but this reception is not a job fair. So you shouldn't bring your resume for that. And remember a conversation that you want to spend time talking to someone and listening to someone. We'll practice those skills in a few minutes. Also, remember, the 2-hour time frame, that's a pretty short time frame. There are going to be speakers, there'll be people who are late, there'll be people who leave early. So if you want to maximize your time, I would definitely suggest that you get there on time and make sure that you have enough time to meet people ahead of time. Okay, so making a good first impression. Let's start with the test. What if we're doing the morning?
This is casual.
What is this casual?
Well, usually when I do business casual, it's like pubs,
flat toe skirt and a, like a, I guess like a button down shirt. Basically, it's like business, like just a jacket.
That shirt has to get a lot of what I would say is, you know, obviously, especially when you may not have a suit to wear, which is fine. You want to look professional. You don't want to come in with jeans. You don't want to come in with flip-flops. I feel silly for saying that, but you'd be surprised at how many people will go to networking events and not really look the part. Remember, this is your first opportunity to make a first impression, and first impressions last. So if you don't have a suit, then what I would suggest is something along the lines of what you just said. Make sure that you look neat, make sure that you look professional in terms of how you dress. You'll look good. Glasses, no really short skirts. If you wear a skirt, you really should wear pantyhose if you have pumps on. These are all things that you really have to keep in mind in terms of making a fresh impression. You'll be meeting individuals who are in the workforce, and every day, even if their firm or their organization is co-business casual, that can mean different things to different people. So I would really stress to find something that's going to be appropriate for this occasion. The other thing is comfort. There's nothing worse than walking into a room and not feeling comfortable in terms of what you have on. You start pulling at things and wearing one thing that I do, one of my rules that I'm presenting in my recording session, I don't wear button checks. And my fear is always, oh, a button's going to pop, I'm not going to go anywhere. So whenever I present, I'm talking to people, I very rarely have a button check. That's just me. That's my comfort level. And that's what I think about in terms of meeting new people and really having a chance to learn about their impressions. So don't wear something that's too tight, don't wear something that doesn't fit. When you're there, you want to feel comfortable, you want to take advantage of being in a situation where you can be. So keep comfort in mind as you're in the first place.
I have a question about shoes, because I grew up in California and people are a lot more relaxed about shoes, and I also worked in New York in an investment bank. They were like, shoes, even peep-toe shoes were just ghastly fashion faux pas. Where does DC fit in that spectrum, I guess specifically about little peep-toe?
So my thought would be, if you're not sure whether an open-ended print, it is 90 degrees in October. Okay, so the weather is very strange right now. But if you had to pick out, I would definitely go with just a closed toe shoe. Because then you're not walking in worrying about, okay, what does everyone have on? And how do you have a toe shoe on? You know, so you want to alleviate, you want to take all of that out of the equation. You want to take anything out of the equation that would be distracting to you when you're walking into an event. So my suggestion would be closed toe shoes. Now, do you need to run out and buy a pair of closed toe shoes? If you all are on a limited budget, I would say probably not, but I'm hoping that all of you have at least one pair of closed toe shoes. And they should be clean and stuff-free and not have to feel, you know, your heel sometimes that snag. And you don't want to do that out. So you want to make sure that they're in the shoe.
Speaking on heels, is it okay if we just wear a nice pair of flats?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Some people don't like to wear heels. I'm sure, so I always wear heels under your flats. But I think if you have just a nice shoe and it goes with your outfit, I think that's fine.
Yes. Just a question about the suit. I've heard two contradictory things that when you wear a suit, you should wear a button down the side. And some people say it's more professional to wear a really cut t-shirt. Like what you're wearing inside.
I think it depends on how you're comfortable. If you wear a button down that's pulling and the buttons are gaping, to me, that's not professional at all. But if you can wear a button down that looks neat, I think that's fine. It's like shells. Shells are fine as long as they're not really low cut and as long as they, you know, fit you properly. So I think, again, it's your comfort level. You know, when you look in the mirror, just say to yourself, okay, if someone's seeing me, they're going to think I look good together.
And
as professional as possible. So even
when it's
on, but with the button down, you have to make sure
you're getting it. Yes. Is it better to wear a suit with a skirt or a suit with slacks, or does it not matter?
You know, there's a raging debate going on right now, especially when we just started this morning. Again, my point of view is you have doubt, wear the skirt. The skirt suit is always the most conservative.
if you're looking for a job and you haven't received yet, even if the person wants to capital, whatever that means, that person, then at least put in that inclusion. That being said, pantsuits are very much less. There's, I haven't really heard, and we talk to employers all the time for your campus. I've never heard employers say to me, yeah, that's too high on pantsuits. That's a problem. So that being said, you can turn your audience. So if you're at a very conservative firm in New York, or you're a very conservative firm in the South, you may have on a skirt because that's really the dress and the attire of that particular geographic location. So there are a lot of variables there. I would say you want to find the most conservative type of wear a jacket and a skirt,
While we're talking about clothes, is there like a difference between short sleeve and long sleeve if you're wearing like a button up or a shirt that you're wearing? I mean, if you don't have a jacket on or something.
Long sleeve is a better impression because it's sort of a jacket. If you don't have a jacket on, you're a little bit more covered up and not as smooth. So if you don't have a jacket, I would talk about the girls wearing long sleeves. You know, this thing about my hair down Saturday, the woman who does my hair usually does this look, but all of a sudden I have this thing going on here, so I'm constantly moving to the side. What I would do about hair is make sure that you have long hair and it's going to be distracting, you're constantly doing this and you'll be doing that when you talk to people, just pull it back. If you have hair that, you know, isn't going to bother you just talking to people, then wear it down and wear this out. But again, take away any distracting factor. So if you're constantly playing with your hair and getting it out of the way, I would have to say wear it back or pull it back a little bit.
How do we feel about jewelry?
I've met someone and they were always silver together with the jewelry they had on, and I would ask where you get that particular piece. But you don't want to overdo. So you don't want to have 50 bangles that will make a lot of noise in your jewelry, right? You don't have a really huge necklace that overpowers your suit or the shirt that you have on. Your earrings, I mean, most conservative, again, would be just posts. You can wear dangly earrings, but I wouldn't wear really big hoops or anything like that. I mean, you can think about the individual speed of your meeting. These are people who are in the workforce, and typically you don't see them unless they're in some type of fashion position where they're walking around with, you know, really big earrings and lots of makeup and really, you know, wild, outrageous jewelry. So jewelry is fine. You just have to spend, you know, make it minimal. Someone told me, my mom said, minimum, what you do in terms of your dress, minimizing things all the way. You don't want to go over the top with anything. Nice jewelry, nice bracelet, nice ring, all of that is perfectly fine. If you don't have any of that, it almost looks like you're missing something. So you definitely have a little bit, but thank you.
Yeah.
More questions? Any more questions about dress? Anything at all about dress? Any questions? Okay, so we're still talking about making a good first impression. Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Tracy Jenkins. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. All of those women that I shook hands with at night are handshakes. I can't tell you how exciting it is when you go shake someone's hand. So make sure when you shake someone's hand, look right in the eye, give a smile, be confident, say hi. My name is X. It's very nice to meet you. And give a nice shake. Okay, because again, women sometimes don't know how do I shake this kind of woman and have empowerment, especially with X having a really crushing hand.
I was just wondering, okay, when you shake somebody's hand, you're talking about like they just give you their hand. Like, I mean, I have a fairly firm handshake, so should I soften my handshake with somebody like that? Should I make it firmer? Should I let go of their hand sooner? I mean, like, what do you really do?
Right. So
if
you go on a tangent, I mean, you should go and shake the way that you would normally shake. Okay. You're better off with my hand. But I love it. Shake the way that you would normally. you look at a fit and you get this, again, it's a first impression, right? You don't want someone to leave thinking, oh, you know, the woman in the purple suit, and she's a little like, you don't want to have her. Okay, so nice strong handshake, nice smile, not deep. Any questions about the handshake? So name tags, I too like to wear my name tag on the right hand side because I feel that when you shake someone's hand, it should be somewhat of a natural extension. It's really hard to remember people's names, so don't feel badly if you forget someone's name. Most of you know in these types of events that you're going to meet a number of people, and there may be an opportunity for you to bring someone into a conversation or to join a group. If you forget someone's name, you say, oh, excuse me, could you remind me? It's really not a big deal, but try hard if you can to memorize someone's name. And one of the ways that you can do that is just by repeating their name. So, hi, how are you? Tracy Jenkins.
How are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Tracy.
What's your name?
Lena. Sorry. Leave again. When you finish your conversation, repeat their name again. I also try to think about word association. So, Lena, to me, she had the last time in the right. Make an association with her, maybe Lena, Linus, I don't know. I would try to come up with some type of sort of word association so that if I saw the person again, I have some visual of the person. I'm really good with, like, I don't remember all of you in here, but if any of you come in contact with me, I would definitely ask for your name because I'm just not very good at retaining names. So any trick you can use in terms of repeating the name a couple of times, looking at the name tag, and also just trying to associate that person's name with something else that I would be helpful as well. But if you forget, it's really not, it's not terrible to ask how your name is. It shows that you care enough to want to make sure that you did it correctly if you did it. That's usually. Any questions about that? Eye contact, that's another thing you're going to be shooting at. So you do need to maintain eye contact. And even when you're talking to someone, even if you're trying to think of the words to say when you're talking to the last people about their side, they'll look down. Maintaining eye contact is pretty important when you're first meeting someone because you want to show them that you're very interested in what they have to say and that you're retaining information and that you're using that information to continue the conversation. So try as much as you can to maintain meeting up with your time. Smile, that might go without saying, but smile. I mean, everyone has to smile or just a sense of, oh, I'm very happy to be here, I'm very happy to meet you. So when you meet someone, you know, proud of your smile, it doesn't have to be over the top, but it's something that shows that you're happy to be there. And no cell phones. I'll say that. No cell phones. And when I say that, you turn them off. If you have one of the first things, sometimes I have a cell phone and I just put it vibrate, so if it rings, at least I'm the only one that knows it's ringing. So please, I mean, for half an hour and a half, you should be able to hard look at. Unless it's a very important perspective. Any questions about the first impression? Okay. So we're going to move along to either going alone or traveling with the past. So I'm trying to, the whole purpose, especially that on Friday, is to meet the past. If you go ahead and record your friends, you often, if you have a nice whatever orders that are, you know, offered at the buffet, you're all together in a group, and you leave at 6:30, you have to have one person, then there was really no reason for you to have that person. I mean, this is an opportunity for you to build new connections. So, I know a lot of people are shy, and I'm not saying that everyone has to walk into their own line, but what I would say is, if you have maybe one friend that you walk into a room with, and you maybe find somebody else that's sort of standing on their own, that you can start a conversation with. That's what you want to do. I know a lot of people are shy, a lot of people can be intimidated, especially by a large reception, but this is your chance to meet people. So going and staying with friends is going to be the whole purpose. So I would say if you feel more comfortable with your friends with you, then definitely do that. And then it may be that side conversation starts and your friend goes and talks to someone else, go talk to someone else in another group. You'll know somebody there. I mean, all of you probably know who's one person in this room, and all of you are attending, and you usually know one person there. But sometimes you have to take yourself out of your shell and be a little bit more receptive to people. If you are more extroverted, then obviously, there's a good article in the back of this that was put in the Washington Post earlier this year. Those are probably people that, you know, go to these types of events all the time. You happen to know them. build their contacts and their professional networks, because they can go into a room and go to virtual people there. If you have that question, yet, don't worry. This still gives you an opportunity to meet one or two or three people. So, you know, definitely, you can break away from the pack and the pack's the best. But if you feel like you need a friend with you, that's a key to just make sure you're not leaning on each other as a crush and not I don't know how many of you, when I was younger, high school or whatever, I would go to a party. You and a friend would say, you know, you need to signal so that I need to be rescued or you need to be rescued, and then the person will live and come to rescue. So my signal was this, because I was like, you know, people sort of wipe their nose, and then I got really desperate. My person should do that either. That being said, me and your stuff, we're going to do an exercise shortly that talks about being in a one-on-one conversation. Have a conversation of what do you do. So you should think about the context if you need someone to rescue you or you need someone going to escape from that conversation. You know, definitely keep that in mind. Again, if you're a little shy, you're just not sure about why you're going to go by yourself, you know, having a little signal with a friend may be a way for you to sort of get a bad conversation or kind of bring someone into a conversation if you need it. So just something to keep in mind. So setting goals for the event, that's where a lot of different thoughts about this. How do you position? You have to go meet 5 people. That's your goal. You have to go meet 5 people, then the event was a success. My thought is, even if you have 1 or 2 long, not necessarily long, but memorable conversations, so you feel like you've really connected with someone to the extent that you want to follow up with them, I think that's successful. Even if you go to a reception with 250 people and you just meet maybe 2 new people, if you really develop a rapport with someone and have to follow up and to maintain that relationship, then I would say that that's a successful event. And this gets back to not being overwhelmed by the size and the number of people they are attending. So you have to set a rule for yourself and what you're comfortable for. A lot of the one else, this is the first time you're doing this, and maybe your goal is, wow, if I can meet 1 new person, I'll be really happy. For those who've already done this in the past, you know, maybe those are people you know, and maybe 3, 4, or 5 is more comfortable for you. So you have to at least in your mind that comfortable set. Yes.
Do you have any recommendations for people that are, that's one of my biggest problems is just going up to somebody. I can't bring myself to just go up to somebody I've never talked to, met before, and I get really nervous.
We're going to do an exercise I think will help with that. So, let's see. And actually, that does bring me into the approach to your pitch. So, you're going to find a question. We are going to. All right, a couple of things about sort of your comfort level. This goes to your question, actually, now. What are some of the things that you can do? What happens with me? I don't know how this registration table is going to be set up. But you can always sort of stand by the registration table. And some people come in, especially they come in on their own. They might not necessarily have someone to talk about. So that would be just, hi, how are you? It's very nice to meet you. And you can start the conversation that way. So if you stand by the registration table, you may see people want to come in under their own 1 or 2 or 3 people. And that might also be charming. You know, don't want to approach this person. Another thought is maybe standing there for you, and we're going to talk about whether you should eat or not at these receptions in a few minutes. If you're standing at the pre table, I mean, people who've been sure to the pre table, again, it might be a good chance for you to spark up a conversation. Because sometimes it's tricky because if they have, you ask a question and they just put something in their mouth, and there's sort of that awkward moment where you're waiting for them to continue. But at the same time, you know, it's another opportunity, another place where you can sort of be to try to meet new people. In terms of your pitch, all of you should be prepared. And it varies in time. Some people say 10 seconds, some people can say 30 seconds. For the process of what we're doing today, I'm going to take 15 seconds. We're going to do that in the exercise. But all of you should have a pitch. So if I say to any of you, why did you come to law school, or what is it that you do? You should be able to tell me pretty easily that information, at least that starting point of information. So what we're going to do is, if you say someone you don't want to talk to that person, you want to tell this from that you don't want to talk to that person, please take care of us. So we can do that while we're down.
I'm
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to take turns. We have to take one person and say hello. Come on down. We're going to teach us. We're going to give each group in this department 15 seconds, basically. You'll say, hi, how are you? And the question buzzword is, what do you do, or why did you go to law school, or something that allows for an open-ended pitch, if you will. So we're going to start, I'm going to do 15 seconds, then you switch, and your partner will do their pitch, and then we'll go on to another exercise, okay? All right, so then you put it, why don't you ask me first? Okay, so starting.
In the LGBT community and as it relates to same-sex marriages and rights. And she volunteered abroad at the Peace Corps of the Ukraine and worked on that a little bit.
Okay, that's fabulous. A couple of women got that. Number one, you're visiting coming to law school. Number two, the interests that you have. And the Peace Corps, something like that is sort of unique, certainly will garner support for conversation. The whole point is that you want to be able to maintain a conversation. You don't have to be one relation. They're not going to be able to respond. So that's good. Okay, so now you will give the introduction to your partner.
This is Mabu. She took 2 years off before she became a Peace Corps. Law school. during that time, she worked with a nonprofit that did work with youth activism, and now she wants to get into more public interest work and is also interested in corporate responsibility.
Great.
That's very good. Very good.
And do the introduction. Anyone else?
Okay. All of you for it. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. So that's the whole point. You don't have to really stay on 15 seconds. It's really not a long time. But it's sort of like a higher level.
Is
the 15-second window need
to 15 seconds? Like, they don't care if you can't just spit it out, or
what is it? It's sort of what you call elevator speech. If you've been on the first floor with someone and you go up to the sixth floor, you have about 10 to 15 seconds. If you start a conversation, say, at least 15 seconds. So this is sort of this whole elevator speech mentality. And like I said, if you are in business for yourself, or you're working on a corporate level, you need to go about 30 seconds. Because you're talking about your clients and what you want to do. But you should always in your mind have, you know, the idea about yourself, because self-assessment, why did I come to law school? Is there something sort of unique about me? What can I say to this person that will help me do the conversation? If you just say, hi, how are you? I'm a first-year law student. And that's it. Then the person is either going to have to ask you a question that's going to be more question-answer instead of a conversation.
What about, like a soft sell, like a sort of, because obviously we're all going to this thing to network and to meet people, but also feel like, hi, I'm really interested in whatever law, what do you do? It seems sort of shallow and really.
Exactly, and that's exactly the point. You are not, it's sort of the person who goes to these events and wants to collect on this. As far as, if you constantly have conversations like this, if someone follows up, if you follow up with someone, they're not going to remember. So you want to make sure that the conversation really isn't shallow. And a lot of times, depending on how receptive this person or if you exercise them, it shows the really receptive person and the person who's really not receptive at all. If you get someone who's not receptive at all, then you might have to exit gracefully and go about your way and try to find someone else for the because you want to really stand there and spend time drilling deep with someone who's really not receptive to what it is, the questions you have, asking about them. So it's one of those things where I think we have to sort of gauge who are you talking to, how much information can you get out to hopefully spark the conversation, how much information are they giving you, so that you can hopefully build on what it is that they're telling you. So a lot of it really does have to do with that advice between the two people. So you have to be a little plus. You can have your speech ready because someone is going to be wired here for what do you do, or it may not be that, you know, that structure. It could be, how are you guys so high? 95 degrees today after I know California, you know, used to this weather. So I mean, you can start conversations a lot with patient off here. They have to review your patient ready.
You're talking about exiting gracefully. How do you do that? I have to
talk a little bit on friendly sex and common ground, showing the feminine nature is very important because you don't want to appear shallow and then normally they're looking at name tags. Who does much litigation and only talk to those people, so you really want to have a reasonable conversation. Knowing for an event is pretty important because conversations can generally go around for an event. I'm a huge residence fan. The Dallas Cowboy game last night was crazy. It was crazy. So I would probably start talking to someone about, oh my gosh, if I saw an indication they're teetering out of residence, you know, they want to know if I saw some indication that they were into football, I would probably say, did you see the game last night? I can't believe I was just alive. That was crazy. So that's how I was for a conversation. You can always look at someone, what they have, what they can do with them to see if there's any clues about their interests. And you can build on it. Or like I said before, jewelry, like, oh, I love your necklace. Where did you get that? Actually, being observant about your surroundings is very important because sometimes you get to lose about how that is part of the conversation. Pay attention and listen. Both of the women that did that exercise, they immediately didn't know that I was going to ask them to introduce the other person, but they knew the person's name. They had some sense for what the person does or wants to do. And I think that's important because you have to listen. If you're always thinking about who's the next person I can meet or somebody who's walked in that I really want to meet, you're going to miss the opportunity to really listen and hear some type of information that can be a compliment. So you definitely need to make sure that you do that. Let's go into the next exercise. So I need a volunteer. I'm going to do most of the work. We're going to do two scenarios. The first scenario goes to your point about if it's difficult, what do you do to exit? So what I need you to do is not really answer my questions very well and be, you know, not have an intellectual conversation. Okay. Hi, how are you? I'm Tracy Jenkins. Very nice to meet you. Are you a student from another school?
No, I'm a professional.
Oh, you are? Okay. What do you do? What's your career?
I work in corporate.
Like, what type of work do you do?
The usual, you know, briefs.
Firm or somewhere in a nonprofit or a government agency?
I work in Washington, D.C. Major form. Firm. Major firm, okay.
Well, okay, today, like, are you involved in the Washington Bar Association or one of the other organizations?
No.
Oh. She's not giving me much information. And clearly, I don't think it's been a lot of time with her. Another way you can exit gracefully is say, you know, I'm going to get something to drink. Can I get you something? Most people, they don't know you're not going to say, sure, I'd like to have something. It's a way for you to escape. You can just say, you know, I'm going to get something to drink or something to eat. Now, would you like to join me or would you like me to get you something? So between that and just, you know, at the end of the day, if you just need to say, well, it's a pleasure talking to you, thank you very much for a great evening. You can certainly escape in that way as well. Thank you very much. Okay, and can you have another volunteer? this is what you have for what I call a friendly encounter or information.
So friendly.
Hi, how are you? Tracy Jenkins. Hi, very nice to meet you. How are you about Easter Bagels in Chicago?
It was terrible. It was terrible. I lived so far away in Capitol Hill, and it took a long time to get here. How about you?
It was the whole time I was a student here, so it was actually bad. But usually, when I commute in my car, it does take a long time. Awesome. Where are you? Have you
been a long time? No, actually, I'm new to the area, so I'm trying to kind of work it out close to my house. I found a really great coffee shop. It's 2 blocks away from my house, so. No, it's a Ethiopian coffee house called Sima.
What about
you?
You were
for World War. Yeah, I have one word for futures. I do that. I really feel like this. All the nonprofits are consented here, so
that's
a good location.
That's kind of the reasons why, possible one of the reasons why I came to WCL, has such a great public interest, town reputation. There's going to be a lot of opportunities here. How did you get into the field?
I was a holistic major in college, and I really was even interested in gender issues, and that kind of led me into a career as legal issues of gender. What sort of public interest are you interested in?
Well, college, so I definitely focused on these issues. And I think coming here, I don't know, there's so much community. I think that's why my interest, but I definitely want to explore. So.
That's great.
Do you think you have a business card or are you going to have a coffee house and have a coffee one? That would be great.
Thank you.
Very nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Or something that you can use to continue to practice. So, she mentioned, being new to the area, that's great, but you can try to figure out, well, why did you come here? You enjoy it and all of that. So you definitely have to just listen and hear what they're saying to you, and that way you can pick up on the conversation or add anything that you like to do, or that you can sort of relate to that so they can form some type of questions?
Yes. For the first scenario, can you use those same ways to get out of a conversation when somebody's talking too much? Like, yeah. Want to keep talking to you, but you don't want to keep talking to them?
It's real problem about how you can ask it gracefully, because you certainly don't want to cut the person off, so you almost have to listen for a break or an opportunity to say, hey, I have something to try. You'd like to come with me or something, but yes, you can definitely use that exit strategy. If someone's not communicative or if someone is just talking way too much and you're not necessarily interested in it, but you always have to do it politely and
resolution. Do you always have to exit saying you're going to get something to drink? What if you want to meet someone else before they leave? Don't mention that.
The door that you really want to meet. You have to figure out the risk strategy to get out of it. And you know what type of person you have. If a person is in a group talking to four people, what do you do with that scenario? Because that is a good point. If somebody is talking to a group of people, how do you insert yourself in the conversations? Do you have any thoughts about that? Okay. What if I have these sort of particular people? If somebody's around, do you sort of look through and listen to the conversation? To the extent, again, you have to listen that there's a break. Then you can come and maybe introduce yourself, or if you have contact with someone who already lives in the group, and maybe that person can introduce you. But if you want to, sometimes you do have to sort of stand there for a moment and ask for our agent to say hi, so I really want to meet you because you do ABC.
Are there, in the small talk that was going on, are there situations where you should just lie? Because sometimes, for example, a lot of people ask me, so how do you like DC? And I'm not a big fan of DC, and I usually tell them that. And then all of a sudden the conversation takes like a negative turn. So maybe I should have just said, oh, I really love DC.
Well, no, you're trying to feel a lot of conversations if you tell someone I really love DC, and then it's a five follow-up conversation. You know, I really love DC. I mean, it's not going to really have a sense of beach. So what you could say is, I like DC because it's X, Y, Z, but there are a couple things about it that, I'm still trying to get used to. I mean, you're not sort of spin it in a way that's not totally negative, but you still have to be genuine to yourself and really make sure that what you're saying makes sense to you and is something that, you believe in. because we're the ones designing. Oh, I love teasing, and you tell us what you love about it, and you have nothing to say in response to that, it's going to be a problem. So, you know, DC's great for what a school is like, to take advantage of all those opportunities. And I'm not sure I'm going to live in a major city, you know, maybe a suburb or something like that. You can always put a little spin on it so that you can.
Sometimes when I get into these conversations, my mind goes blank, and I can't come up with anything reasonable to say. Like introducing people is okay, but all those follow-up and answering with open-ended answers is sometimes just difficult. I guess I just get nervous.
Thank you. pursue the possible next week after the card and try to continue the conversation. So don't feel like the first meeting, you have to tell them everything about themselves or so, and they have to tell them everything about themselves. You're building a relationship that fits, or they're going to come down with the natural force that builds an application. And if you make the confidentiality, I mean, you can definitely mention it. The question is how far, and again, it's hard to know. When something's really personal, you may not want to give too much information early, because this is someone you just met. And again, talking about first impressions, if you'd be able to sort of use that foundation to move forward. So hopefully there would be other opportunities for you to stay more.
Anyone else? Yes. Conversationally, what do you think, like, some of the biggest mistakes people make at, like, networking events that, like...
I mean, I think one of the biggest mistakes is being really shallow and looking like the person who's going around just trying to collect the business cards, because you're not listening to the person, you're not in communication contact. You're sort of there just to be someone, oh, how many people can I use without really building the foundation. So, to me, I can tell, also, if someone is distracted, like, the first thing we did, if someone's looking around or looking at their watch or playing with their clothes, it's me, they're giving me a signal that they're not interested in talking to me around. So in that case, again, I'm probably trying to exit gracefully. If the person you have had contact with, if you found some commonalities or having a good conversation, those are the people that you probably want to
In terms of a follow-up, like an email or something like that, once you get their business card, what would you recommend, aside from the, you know, it was great meeting you, et cetera, because a lot of these people would most likely be too busy to respond to, oh, how's it going, kind of an email.
Right.
So what would you recommend, because you don't want to come across if you're using them to get tips
right.
and stuff like that, too.
Okay, so what we'll do, we'll stick to that. I just want to say one thing about food. Don't go to a reception hungry. Because you're so, you know, what's over there for the food. The food thing, talking to people, it doesn't always fix. So my suggestion would be, if you're hungry and you want to get something to eat, you go off to the side, eat your, you know, what you're getting on your plate, and then go back into a conversation. Or wait till the end, or at the end of the event, after you make some connections, and then eat. But don't go to a reception hungry, because it's going to make your mind hungry. I want to see if that person's plate looks really good, I want to get that food. You don't expect to be distracting in terms of what it is that you're trying to accomplish. If you have something to drink, drink it inside. You should ask for my security blanket. I like to walk around with like a club soda or something. If it's cold, what I used to do is say to people, oh, excuse me, and it's cold because I was holding this drink. So there's a couple things. One, hold it in your left hand. Two, if it's not wine or a wine glass, you know, wrap a napkin around it so that when you go to meet people or for some reason you need that left hand, it's not a cold hand. So that's another sort of trick. Just make sure that, you know, you're receptive and you can talk to people. Or put the glass down if you need to get something out of your purse or a video if you have anything to do in this car. But even in exceptions, because the food looks great, my suggestion would be, yes, you can definitely eat, but either take it out of the context or try and talk to someone while you're doing that, or do it later, yeah, during the event. Don't try to balance the food. It's great as a disaster. Unless you have maybe controlling the plates down on the plate, but how many places do you really have them? But if you have a trick in one hand and food in another hand, how are you going to meet someone or how are you going to So really quick, a follow-up. To me, the easy part is meeting people, the hardest part is about the hardest part. So a couple things about that. When you get the business card, my connection is all over the back of the card. It's shortly after you get it, so that you can write down where you met the person, the date. Also, something you need about that person, some type of conversation you had, maybe about practice there, it might be about the whatever it was, just write that through your business card, because that's going to help you follow up later. If they didn't have a business card, what I do, I take my own business card and write it on the back, or I'll use someone else's business card, draw them on, and write something down. So that's the first step. You need to sort of have context for who you want to follow up. And the second thing is how do you follow up? There are a lot of ways you can follow up by email, you can follow up by having a handwritten name, you can follow up by typing, you can follow up by voicemail, you can follow up by calling. You have to sort of assess what is your next step. If your next step is to ask for lunch or to their office, then if you do it by a handwritten note, how will they necessarily respond to you unless you say, oh, can you contact me to follow up, right? So maybe in that context, a handwritten note is not the best thing. I like handwritten notes. I think they're nice as long as you're legible handwriting, they don't spell errors. I I think the girls and I definitely took the time to write the note, put in an envelope, address the envelope, put a stamp on it, and all that takes time and shows that you care about following up with that person. So maybe for the initial contact, if you're asking them to do something like lunch or coffee or something like that, even though that's a nice gesture, maybe you could do that after the next event. So maybe the first follow-up is either calling them on the phone or sending an email. If you send an email, please use proper punctuation, use capitalization, don't use smiley faces. I mean, it needs to be professional. And what you want to say is, hi, this is a question for you at the Women's Networking event on Friday at the Washington College of Law. I really enjoyed our conversation about X, Y, and Z. As we discuss, I'm following up with you to see if there's a chance for you to do our conversation. I'd be happy to come to your office for coffee or lunch or whatever. And so that's sort of your ask for the follow-up. A lot of times, in terms of follow-up, let's say there was an article that came out recently, and I see the article from Bill Lester for TV. Part of that is because people know what I do, and part of that is because I hear that work in it, so when they see things that are involved career issues. So if you see something, if you meet someone who has antitrust practices right here, and you see an article that you may have interest to them, there's something to say that you can't forward that article. I mean, it's so easy now by email forwarding, you can say if it's not a conversation, your practice area, but you're not interested in seeing this if you haven't already. I mean, that's like the text response as well. So I guess the bottom line is you have to think about what's my next step. What am I trying to have? What is the relationship I'm trying to build with this person? What is it that I'm trying to, how am I trying to move this relationship forward with this person? It goes back to your question about the business cards. I mean, again, even if you gave someone your business card, you can't rely on them to keep their relationship going. If you want to keep the relationship going, you have to see the steps to make it. Now, there's a fine line between follow-up and take off. So if you follow-up, and you follow-up, and you are getting absolutely no response from someone, then maybe it's time to let it be over the top. Maybe you send them a holiday card. You know, down the line, which just says, hey, remind them that you actually exist. But if you continue to follow up and you're not getting any response from them, it may be time to let go. So I would say usually, if you try a few times, you try the initial time, maybe by email, you try again by voicemail or by leaving a message. When you leave a message, do it during business hours, because no one wants to get a message at 3 in the morning, because it seems like you weren't really trying to talk to them anyway. So you need to try to reach during business hours. But I would say after 3 touches, maybe you let that go for a while until there's an opportunity for you to follow up with an article or follow up with, you know, something else you read that you'd be interested to follow up during holidays. Because after a while, you don't want to appear like you're going to constantly, you know, call their phone, maybe it's caller ID now. So I see people's, you know, numbers that come up, if you see the same number coming up, I mean, if someone wants to reach me, but if they're not going to give me a message, I have no idea what it's for. So you just have to be mindful of technology and how to best follow up with people. But I would say, if you're going to be a stalker, if you try to call people on the phone, my first way to tie this is Tracy Jones. I met you at the Women's Networking event. Is this a good time to talk? Because sometimes people will pick up their phone, it's really not a good time to talk. If they're distracted, then you're going to go through the process all over again. So they say, you know what, I'm really interested in that. Can I do your call back in an hour? We're going to call me back in an hour. Respect, because you'll probably have a better conversation. So if I talk on my phone, that is one of the things I would say, is this is a good time to talk.
I keep reading these articles about networking that say, or this new idea about networking, that networking isn't about looking for your next job or entering into a conversation looking for something immediate, but rather developing these relationships that one day, you never know, it will bear fruit, and they might not even be job things. They might be, I'm trying to buy a house, and someone knows, and it just happens that way. And I know this in my mind, but when I follow up, I can't really connect it. So I'm always feeling this pressure. So I'm writing the email to say something that has to be acted on immediately. So I have 2 questions. First question is, when is it too long? When is too much time passed to follow up? You know, because I get these business cards, I'm like, oh dear, I'm going to do this tomorrow, then it's a week. And then I'm like, they'll never remember me, and then I don't do it. So I feel like I've missed 2 opportunities. One, I was self-defeating by giving up, and 2, I didn't follow up immediately. And then the second question is, what are things that you can ask for? Is it okay to just say, do you want to start an informal mentorship thing with me where we just have lunch and talk about, I don't know what?
Oh, no. The first question. Just think about what your message is saying. So if you, in December, let's say, you create a follow-up class versus business card, and you met them at the event in October,
Interesting conversations were had in the structured part, but this whole clumping together in groups was a big problem. So I hope everyone here has their pitch in mind and makes the goal for you, whatever you go up. But another thing is that there are a lot of students at this event, so there's a whole concept of peer mentorship and peer networking, and so I want to know what is the value of cultivating those relationships, and instead of saying, oh, there's only five lawyers here and a million students, I'm just going to go over.
It's huge. I mean, you all have the practice of yours in law school and other law schools, it's okay if you're going to be judges or corporations. Organization. The more you know about what it is you're trying to accomplish, and the more they know about what you're trying to accomplish with them, so definitely think that you're going to look at students, yes, your student, and look at definitely build a relationship with the students as well as being a student.